again and wrestle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the Fart Harpers to take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
It's 9 o'clock on the east, 6 o'clock on the west, so you know what that means on a Tuesday night. Welcome to OWW Radio, brought to you by Wild Talk Radio Productions. Nick Anthony's not here this week, he's still in recovery from his adventures in Vegas, baby. But I'm Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kendrick's here with us. Tonight we've got a very interesting lineup that we'll run down in a minute or two, Aaron. Tell everybody real quick who our guest of the night is, he'll be on in the second hour.
Well, he's a Ring of Honor star, and apparently he's dropping his current nickname, which we're not going to talk about.
Don't say it, Alex Payne.
Alex Payne is with us tonight.
Most excellent. All right. This is sad. We got to talk about, again, someone who passed away, but this time it's someone who is a little on the older side. You know, the motto around here is that we do talk about the legends as well, so we're going to address one right now. Katsuji Adahachi. He may not sound familiar to you, but if you lived in the Stampede territory in the late 70s and 80s, you knew him as Mr. Hito, and unfortunately last Tuesday while we were on the air, he passed away in Japan. Unfortunately, he had battled diabetes for the last several years and lost his right leg to the disease about 6 months ago. His partner was Kazu Sakurada, if I'm getting that right. Now, if you watched The Best There Is, The Best There Was, The Best There Ever Will Be, the Bret Hart anthology, this guy's name does sound familiar because not only did he train the legendary Bret the Hitman Hart, he trained some other Japanese legends such as Jushin Thunder Liger, the late Shinya Hashimoto, Kensuke Sasaki, Hiroshi Hase, among others. He had wrestled until the 80s when an automobile accident slowed him down, and he retired in the late 80s and had moved to Osaka, Japan in 2003 where he was running a restaurant. And we'll wrap this up. I mean, it's hard for us to talk about him, but we're going to let Bret the Hitman Hart talk about him in his recent Calgary Sun column. Hitman basically said, "People often say to me, where would wrestling be without Bret Hart? But my answer to that is, where would Bret Hart be without Mr. Hito?" So we wish him and his family and the Harts nothing but the best with that. Our number, in case you're sitting there going, dude, I want to talk wrestling tonight. I'm tired of watching the NHL and Major League Baseball and that draft of football that was over, and we'll talk our draft. WWE had a draft last night and today, and I sat through all 3 hours of it today. 888-357-9876, option one. If you're one of the Skype Nation like we are, you can Skype Sir Rockin', and he is our uber super cool producer tonight. And before we talk draft, we gotta talk releases. If you were wondering, yeah, they're doing big releases before WrestleMania. Don't they usually do releases after? And we're sitting there going, something's got to drop, man. Something's got to drop. Well, the day after we were on the air, Aaron, not one, not two, try seven WWE superstars got the chop. We'll recap them real quick here. Mickey James gone. Katie Leah Burchell gone. Burchell gone. Shelton Benjamin, gone. Mike Knox, gone. Sho Funaki, who was Kung Fu Funaki, gone. Ray Gordy, who used to be Slam Master J and was a part of the Festus and Jesse tag team, I believe it was, gone. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Wang Yang, also all gone, Aaron. We'll give some quotes that recently showed up from their Skypes and Twitters and MySpaces and not, but of the seven names, Aaron, which is the biggest shock to you, and which is the one that you could care less that's gone?
First, the one that I could care less is gone is probably Ray Gordy, Jesse, because, I mean, they just wasn't doing anything with him. So they're just, to me, they kept him too long. Because
I didn't know he was on the roster, dude.
He's been doing stuff with the tag team that just broke up a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, they really just, they were trying to find something to do with him. So, to me, they just really kept him too long. And the one that I'm most shocked about is Shelton Benjamin. Because every time he went out to that ring, the commentators always said he was probably the best pure athlete in the company. So I can't understand why they got rid of him. But at the same time, I was talking with Nick last week, and he brought up a good point. The closing on his door in the WWE is an opening to a door to TNA and possibly a Team Angle reunion.
Yeah, that was talked about on, I believe it was Charlie Haas's Twitter. I mean, I'm a little technologically dumb, I guess. I don't have the Twitter. I know we do at OWW Radio, and Aaron will give all that wonderful information later on. But I believe he had said something to the effect of, like, let my people go, and, you know, dude, don't resign, and we'll do the world's greatest tag team on the road and ROH. And to me, the biggest shock, like, I was a part of WrestleTalk Radio on Sunday, and they kind of grazed the subject, so to speak, and we all agreed the biggest shock was, I mean, that was the biggest shock to us. We were just like, what the heck happened here? Shelton Benjamin, it almost felt like you get him into Mania and he nearly kills himself and then he's gone. 888-357-997 is option one, and it looks like someone's already taken a part of that. Hello, caller, welcome to OWW Radio. Your name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
There's a caller on the line, Sir Rock. Hello there. And looks like the caller's not there. Rock, I'm saying the caller's not there, but that's okay. All right. Let's clear up some rumor and truth and rumor time. I almost feel like, you know, I'm the TMZ guy on here. All right. This one's coming from PWIinsider.com. You know, the site that you go to has 600 million pop-ups. Rich Triumfo, my friend, used to work for them when we covered TNA together, so it was just like, dude, get a site that's got no pop-ups, please. They reported that regarding Mickie James' shocking release from WWE, she was fired. Get this, Aaron. Now, if this happened to you in school, or any of us in school, you're going to go home, your mom's going to yell at you and then put you in the car and drive you somewhere. Well, apparently she was let go because she was more than once on the European tour that trapped everybody overseas. She apparently arrived late to the from the hotel downstairs to the buses. Now, apparently, this was the camel straw breaking incident, dating back to, apparently, she had been disciplined on SmackDown for a quote-unquote substandard performance, and apparently issues with her weight. Now, I'm married, so it's a little hard for me to judge this one, but who cares? Mickie James, Alexis LeRae, whatever you want to call her, because that's her real name. That was her name in TNA when she was a part of CM Punk and Julio De Niro and Raven's Gathering way back before they moved from Nashville. They're also apparently not happy with the same thing that Maria Canales ran into, Aaron, which is, I want to have a career outside of WWE, but I don't want to involve WWE. Now, apparently she's been in Nashville doing some country music and had a CD apparently on its way out here. So apparently that, you know, that was her reasoning. You buy this? I'm late for a bus, so this is why I get the boot?
No, I'm not buying because of the being late for the bus. No, I'm not buying that.
Okay, so do you buy the music one of I want to be outside of wrestling, and because it wasn't being put out on WWE records, it's like, yeah, we're not going to have you around here.
Well, I really don't buy that either. I mean, you know, if I can see that as being a real possibility, but because of the weight issue is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but so everybody's got to be as thin as the Bella Twins? Is that what we're looking for? Because Beth Phoenix isn't exactly...
Exactly.
Beth Phoenix is a rock-solid monster. I mean, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I
don't either, but...
If you think... Give us an opinion, fans. Sir Rockin can hook you up online with us through the Skype, 888-357-9876. We're going to buzz through the other people that are involved in here. According to Jimmy Wang Yang on his Twitter, that an hour before it was officially announced on WWE.com, he put 3 strikes and you're out. I hear Florida's a nice place to visit. Okay, we're just going to let Jimmy Wang Yang say whatever he wants there. Now, apparently, a lot of WWE cats have the Twitter thing. Maybe I need to just break down, get a new phone, and get the Twitter thing. Because we just mentioned Mickie James. Well, she put something on her Twitter. And I got to breathe deep for this one, so hang on, here we go. She says, "Thank you, James Gang. I just wanted to say it's been a beautiful journey. WWE has been a childhood dream come true, and I really loved every step. This is not a moment I would change for the world. It breaks my heart, but the world doesn't stop turning. I'm grateful for all my friends, family, loved ones, and fans who have supported me through this wonderful ride. To all the guys and gals I had the pleasure of sharing the ring with, we made some magic. History, memories to last a lifetime. Thank you. I love you with all my heart. Every chapter has a close. This one is only going to get better. I promise you that. One never truly knows what tomorrow may hold. And that's why we embrace every moment. Yeah, yeah, yeah." So, okay, you're Dixie Carter, you're Jeff Jarrett, Russo, and we'll address Russo later on because there's a lot. Forget the Jim Cornette craziness. There's more to the Russo story that we'll get to in the hours to come. Of the 7 that are booted, in my mind, the obvious 2, I'm grabbing Shelton and I'm grabbing Mickie James. Maybe Katie Lee Burchill, who I believe wrestled on the indies, is Nikita. I could be wrong on that, and if I am, I apologize to her fans. Who are you in agreement with me, or do you have a different idea, Aaron? Who would you be picking if you were the TNA guys? Or would you not even be looking at any of these people?
I'd be looking at Benjamin, because it's an opening up for a possibility of a Team Angle reunion, and I think that would be a great idea. I think possible tag team title run.
Okay, so that obviously means you got to get out and sign Charlie Haas. Now, I know you can't bring the world's greatest tag team name over, and I don't know if you can even bring Team Angle. And the question also comes with that is, how long is Kurt going to sit in Pittsburgh and sell his sandwiches and whatnot? I mean, so are you taking any of the girls, or are you just thinking, it's the beautiful people, Tara and Angelina Love, and that's my knockout division?
Well, I mean, you just brought up Charlie Haas, and to me, I don't think you even really need a Charlie Haas because...
Really? Okay.
Because Shelton Benjamin, to me, was always the breakout star of the group. And if you put somebody like that with Kurt Angle now by himself, then you're going to get probably a whole different kind of outcome. And that's why I said there might be a possible tag team title run, because Kurt Angle, he could come in and maybe it could almost be like the graduate of Team Angle, Shelton Benjamin, graduated, and now he's in the same class.
Yeah, and for fans who don't remember it, he's like Angle, he's like Brock Lesnar, he's like Elijah Burke, who's now, doing his really cool thing going on in TNA, which we'll address later on, as the Pope, the Angel of the Arrow. Shelton, like Charlie Haas, has got legit credentials. Shelton wrestled at University of Minnesota with Brock Lesnar. They were, I think, a year or two apart. So you could see something like that. All right, at this point, we're going to let you guys get on the phone lines if you want. 888-357-9876, option 1. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to come back. We're going to cover the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which was interesting. And we'll get into the Monday Night Wars. We'll get into the WWE draft. We'll bring you the ratings, all that stuff. Alex Payne's coming up in the second hour. This is OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. We'll be right back.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. whether it's male or female, mixed. You want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mace telling you to tune in to Anything Goes with Cindy Sin. It can go from anywhere from 10:30 to 12:30 Eastern, Thursday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I tell you what, she gets us some really dirty stuff on that show. Good stuff.
School Van Halen, not Van Hagar. Van Halen, man.
Not Van Hagar.
No Van Hagar and no Gary Cherone either in this house. 888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here on OWW Radio. That guy is Aaron Kendrick. He is our musical guru here on OWW Radio. I'm the Alan Wojcik guy that everybody's like, oh God, I don't want this guy as my host. He's horrible, he stinks, bring on Bubba the Love Sponge. Dear God, I hope not. Oh, I had some fun with the Wrestle Talk Radio Cats on Sunday, and I apologize to Nick if he ever hears the parody they did of him at the beginning of the show. You can go to, I believe it's Wrestle Talk, WildTalkRadio.com, and you can find their archived show there. Now comes the fun part. We're dubbing segments 2 and 3. It's officially now known as The War Report. Whatever, I don't know. We couldn't come up with any funny music or anything. First things first, we're going to do a super-duper fast rundown of Extreme Rules. And I'm going to openly admit, due to the wonderful weather that's here in Tampa Bay, and if you're a hockey fan and you go, dude, why do they call the team the Lightning? I'll enlighten you. Tampa Bay is the lightning capital of the freaking world. From about 6:45 p.m. on Sunday till about 9:15, I had no power. So I got to miss half the pay-per-view. So the only matches I got to see were Edge defeating Chris Jericho in an awesome steel cage match, John Cena and some amazing gaffer tape, duct tape, whatever you want to call it, taking down the Animal Batista in a last man standing match. I got to see one of the most horrible women's matches in the world, Beth Phoenix winning the championship from Michelle McCool. Sheamus knocked Triple H into his movie set in wherever the heck he's making a movie. Jack Swagger retained the World Heavyweight Championship by defeating the cute, cuddly teddy bear Randy Orton in a no-holds-barred match. Crime Time strap match, JTG defeated Chad Gaspard, in case you're wondering which one's which, now we know. CM Punk defeated Rey Mysterio, but all he had to do was have a masked man from underneath the ring, and we'll address the masked man probably on later shows once he's revealed. We have an idea who he is, but we're not going to ruin that for anybody. Ray didn't join Straight Edge Society. Apparently, I believe the only stip on that one was lose the hair if Punker loses. And what was a precursor to last night's Monday Night Raw, Big Show and Miz held a tag team gauntlet match. Apparently, Miz wouldn't shut up. They did defeat R-Truth and John Morrison, who we'll address in a minute about the ever very long draft and the 3 hours one today. I wanted to beat up Howard Finkel through the computer. Then they defeated Mark Henry and Montel Montavious Porter, but lost to the Hart Dynasty, who aired last night, shocked everybody by opening Monday Night Raw with, wow, probably one of the coolest things you're going to see was the Hart Dynasty defeating Show Miz for the tag team titles with Bret Hart at ringside, with Natty Neidhart at ringside. No, I'm not going to address certain anatomy parts that the Wrestle Talk Radio cats like to do. That we're keeping this one a little bit on the clean side here. But and apparently, obviously, bye-bye, Show Miz is totally gone. The Spugger of WTR Radio wants to say, am I the only one who sees humor in two black men wrestling each other in a leather strap match, at which times they are whipping each other with said strap? Yeah, as a northerner looking at that, yeah, that sounds like something Bill Watts would have booked back in the day, but we're not going to go there. We're like I said, we're merging segments 2 and 3 together here, so we're just going to lay it out there, folks. If you sat home and watched wrestling last night, wow, you witnessed a murder on the floor of whatever building you were watching it in. I can't
believe this. It's called the War Report, but this isn't even really a war.
Yeah, this wasn't a war. I'm sorry to use some foul language here. This was an ass-kicking of ass-kickings. Monday Night Impact. Impact got a .5 from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Where they were opposed by WWE, they pulled in 739,000 viewers. Now, we don't need a drum roll on this because for the three-hour draft special they did on Monday Night Raw on USA Network, a 2.6 in hour one, 3.27 hour two, and a 3.34 overall. So you ran that together and you probably ran a 3.1, 3.2 with 4.628 million viewers, Aaron. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while of, you know, how long can the water stay out of the captain's chair or floating this boat down? But, I mean, we'll address the rumor real fast before we go into the draft there. And it's as hard to confirm or deny this stuff because when you try to contact TNA Wrestling, we're not media, so they don't want to talk to us. But the rumor around the campfire is that Vinny Rue has taken his ball and gone home due to operational exhaustion. Or as my parents' generation used to like to call it, shell shock. He's burnt to a crisp, wants to step down. So that's why you heard these big rumors the other week about Jim Ross and Paul Heyman. Do you think these two guys, if they come into TNA, Aaron, are going to save this company, or is it time to start updating everybody's resume?
Well, bringing Paul Heyman in, for one, I don't think it could work, having Paul Heyman doing storylines for a company that Eric Bischoff has backstage pull on. I just don't think they can work together. But if they go ahead.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but this point came up in the OWD Genesis chat boards, message boards that you can access through onlineworldofwrestling.com, cheap plug. I think it was me that brought it up or someone else that brought it up. Now, flashback, I sound like the old lady on Golden Girls. I sound like Sophia here. Picture it, July 2002. Eric Bischoff walks on a Monday Night Raw and hugs Vince McMahon. A guy who he once said on television was and publicly that he wanted him killed. He just wanted to kill him in the ratings, kill, kill, kill. They hugged, made up, great. Jim Ross, on the other hand, he's openly admitted, I'm never going to be on Eric's Christmas card list. So, I mean, is this a situation where Dixie and Jeff and whoever else has the power, fans, at 888-357-9876? Yes, I'm hinting the number to join us here to discuss, because Aaron and I like talking to each other. We do it all the time, but we want some fan input on this. Can you see this as kind of like, I mean, people were saying on the boards that, oh, RVD winning the belt, that was a bargaining chip to Paul, going, see, look, we made your guy champ. Come on. Come work for us. Really, we'll put Eric in the corner. Don't mind him. He's taped up and roped. I mean, can you see something like this going on, Aaron? I mean, I kind of see the wheels in motion, but I don't. It's a little weird right now with TNA. And I don't mean the thing.
Everything is weird. I mean, the ranking system that they're trying to come up with is weird. It's just there's just so many ideas. I bet Russo had that idea, actually, before he left.
Yeah, and let's explain what you're talking about here. TNA introduced a new ranking system yesterday during Impact, where, believe it or not, I don't know how legit this is, that the fans are going to get to vote each week on TNA or at wrestling.com on who's going to deserve a shot. Now, the TNA Championship Committee involving Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan, and Eric Bischoff are going to be overseeing this process where individual rankings are determined by a combination of factors: career performance, win-loss record, and online voting. Each monthly ranking is going to be announced live on Impact the day after the immediately following each of the scheduled pay-per-view events. And the first top 10 contender is going to be revealed the day after Sacrifice. So, I don't get it. We're going to take our friend who's going to, don't refer to Natty's anatomy like that, man. Spug from WTR is with us. What's happening, Spug?
Oh, but I love that certain part of her anatomy. It's so nice.
Yes, save that for you guys.
I'm saving it for us.
Save it for them.
I'm a good boy on your show. Hush.
Yeah, Dad. All right, you saw the we were joking around on Sunday about ratings, and it's just like, you know, you guys have talked about the hot shotting of the RVD belt and this and not. I mean, Can we start updating resumes in Nashville and Orlando, Spug, or is this something that we're hoping is really going to turn around?
Well, if you're talking of bringing in Paul Heyman and Jim Ross, the writing is on the wall for approximately 2 to 3 individuals.
Okay, who's going if they come in? Obviously, Bischoff's out and the bald spot's out.
First of all, Hogan and Bischoff didn't deliver what everybody thought they were going to deliver to TNA, which was a higher rating. You get a .5, and granted, it's against the Draft Show, which is one of the big Raws that everybody watches every year.
And had some really good matches, which we'll address.
It had some great matches, but when you get right down to it, TNA, since the move to Monday, since bringing in Bischoff and Hogan, have not been able to garner above, I want to say, a 1.5 cumulative. They have not been able to break that 2.0 barrier. Their product continues to go downhill. When you bring in a mind like Paul Heyman, and when you bring in somebody who is arguably one of the best commentators in wrestling history, him and Gordon Soley are neck and neck. You are saying to the two individuals, mainly Hogan and Bischoff, that you brought in, that sorry guys, as much as your names mean something in this business, you're not quite cutting it.
I'm sorry to cut you off because you brought up Ross, and I got canned by Nick for talking about him last week, but we're not going to address that. I just want to bring up something interesting here. You had mentioned a couple, three people. There's another name that may be in trouble if Jim Ross comes in. That's the current head of talent relations for TNA, Terry Taylor, who did work with Ross for a while in WWE and had worked with Johnny Laurinaitis in WCW. Is him coming in a sign that Terry Taylor might be out too, or do you think Ross is actually going to end up sitting at a table with TNA and Taz only?
I think if you're bringing Ross in, you could have Terry Taylor work under Ross. I don't know if there's any bad blood in between them. I didn't think that there was.
I don't think there is either. I've met Terry, and Terry doesn't seem to hold grudges against anybody, except me. Yeah. I'm kidding.
So So I think you could have Jim Ross and Terry Taylor work, you know, hand in hand or side by side, or have Taylor work under Ross. So that doesn't seem to be a problem. But the third person that could be, you know, on the outs as far as announcing is concerned is Taz. And I don't think Taz would be leaving TNA, but when you watch SmackDown with Taz and Jim Ross, the two of them just seem to have no chemistry whatsoever. And I don't know how bad JR's Bell's palsy is. I don't know how bad this latest attack was.
I don't think anybody does.
I don't even know if he can announce anymore. So, you know, Taz may be safe. This could be just speculation on all of our parts that they're going to bring in Ross to announce. You know, he could just be simply taking a desk job in the back, which would be perfectly fine by me. I don't mind Taz and TNA. I think they do an excellent job together.
Aaron, your thoughts on this? Do you think this is something that, as a fan, we should be interested in, or is this just like the smart marks of us talking? Because the average fan, I think, doesn't really care who's doing the quote-unquote writing, but it does make for some interest. It's a lot of politicking going on, because already, Aaron, they were talking, oh, Paul Heyman, cool, that means all the ECW guys are coming.
Yeah, I mean, half of the roster already is either ECW or WCW, but I'm going to go back to what he just said, you know, commentary. That's something that needs to be paid attention to, because I'm not sure if it was real or not, but I read an article where Jim Ross was talking. He gave hints that he wasn't too high on Mike Tenay. I don't know.
Yeah, but we addressed that. We addressed that it was supposedly a Twitter that he meant to send to Taz that somehow got public, and he mocked him, or kind of mocked Tenay. And Tenay's like us. Tenay came from the outside of the wrestling world. Ross is in the wrestling bubble, as Russo likes to say.
Who hasn't mocked Mike Tenay, first of all? And second of all, before I jump out of here, I think we need to, as a wrestling fan base, media forum, all of that, need to move past the era of 1995 to 2002, quite honestly. You are never going to relive the days of ECW. You are never going to relive the days of the Attitude Era. You're never going to relive the days of the Monday Night Wars. It's not going to be the same as that ever again. But bringing in someone like Paul Heyman, who is so intelligent with the way he tells a story, the way he writes his storylines, and the way that he can manage a wrestling roster, if you are a promoter, it is probably the smartest move you can make. Just don't ever let him get a hold of the financials.
Or let him, I mean, that's the other thing that was talked about here, guys, and in a second we'll let Spug go at this point. Do you want to see him on camera, or are you fine with him being just a backstage personality? I mean, is his ego that big that he's just going to go, you know what, screw this, I got to do both?
I think eventually you're going to see Heyman on camera if he does come to TNA, but I would much rather him be a backstage force, because there's a lot there that the younger guys can learn from Paul Heyman. And I will say this, and I continue to say this. The one thing that the wrestling industry as a whole has lost is the art to tell a story and the psychology of it. I said it Sunday night when we were doing our post-pay-per-view. For any young guy who wants to get in the business, or any young guy who is in the business, go watch the Triple H Sheamus match from Extreme Rules, and watch Triple H. He put on a clinic on psychology and how to sell a body part injury. The entire match.
All right, we're going to thank Spug for joining us. You can come back on later on. We have Alex Payne on, or you can come in. We got a segment that might be interesting to you later on involving personal conduct with wrestlers, and being a wrestler, we would love to have you come back in later on, if that's all right.
I'll be down for that. Yeah.
Alrighty. Alright, he's a part of WrestleTalk Radio on this network on Sundays, 10 o'clock, unless they got a pay-per-view, and then it's 11 till God knows when, because they had me up till almost 2 in the morning the other night. We'll talk to Spug later on. Thanks a lot. Alright, now for the... Now, they did a mock draft on Sunday, and you can go check their archives. Of course, because we're on Tuesday, we don't get to do all that stuff. So instead of talking about all the matches that happened, well, you have some matches you wanted to address, but let's address real fast who got moved where, and then later on in the next news segment, we can possibly address that. Because like I said, we've got till 10:15 before Alex Payne joins us. Kelly Kelly is going to SmackDown. Big Show, SmackDown. Kofi Kingston, SmackDown. Christian, SmackDown. And then in today's supplemental draft, we had MVP, Chris Masters, Chavo Guerrero, Hornswoggle, Rosa Mendez, who I actually had to look up and go, who the heck is she? And then realize, oh, she's the arm candy to Zack Ryder or Kurt Hawkins or whoever the heck is running around with the funny pants. And Cody Rhodes. They're all SmackDown. Monday Night Raw gets an injured Ezekiel Jackson, Great Khali and his advisor, I can't remember the kid's name, and I'm sorry, Goldust, who I didn't even know was still in the company, Natty Neidhart and the Hart Dynasty. Now, this brought up people in the WWE chat room going that I was a part of that on their Universe site, which is really weird. They were just like, yeah, but why did they get drafted? Because if they lose the belts, they got to go to a show. The champs can float show to show, kind of like how the old WWF champion or world champion did in the late 2000s. He held the belt, and then whoever beat him, that's the show he ended up on. The other Raw people, and these were big shockers, R-Truth over to Raw, John Morrison over to Raw, and then the two stunners, Edge and Chris Jericho, are both coming to Monday Night Raw. Who made out the better in this, fans? 888-355... Hi, I'm Alan, and I have a speech problem. 888-357-9876, option 1, is the way to join us here on OWW Radio. Interesting. That's the biggest interesting question right now, Aaron. Who made out better in this deal? The Raw, the SmackDown, or all of us? Because now we get brand new storylines everywhere.
Well, I think it's both of those. I think it's good for everybody because, like you said, we're getting new storylines out of it. But it's good for the wrestlers too because, you know, for one, Christian, this is the draft that everybody's been waiting for since he came back, Christian, to go to Raw, because, you know, that's what was talked about as soon as the rumors came up that he was coming back to the WWE. He was going to go and win a world title, and now he has that opportunity because he went from ECW to SmackDown. Now he's in Raw, which is what everybody's been waiting for, I think. And Chris Jericho.
You got Marky Mark as your champ, so unless you're a heel, you're sitting on the sideline going, yay, Cena, I want my title shot.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They got the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view coming up pretty soon.
Oh, right, and some guys on the poster, I forgot. Oh, yeah, Christian.
Exactly. And there's a little rule that says you don't have to, the champion doesn't have to be beaten to lose the belt, so... I don't know.
They're not going to have a briefcase involved. God, I hope not.
Maybe not, but
yeah. All right,
we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, now, we are doing different stuff here. We're trying to tinker. We're not, like, totally destroying OWW Radio, but this idea got pitched to me and Nick, and I think it was Scott, Corey, and Aaron that kind of came up with the idea. So, since this is the War Report, we're going to let Aaron take over for a couple minutes and let this is kind of like a match of the week thing, Aaron, or how describe to the fans
kinda
what's going on right now.
It's basically just like match of the week, except it's match of Monday. So, and we're trying to make it a little more up to date. So we're going to take three matches from Raw and Impact, and we're going to have two matches from one show and one match from the other show to show who had the overall better wrestler of the night, and I guess we can say who had the better show. So, I'm like, for instance, right now, I'm going to go into it. Last night, Monday Night Raw, One of their matches last night was Christian and Chris Jericho for a draft pick. Now, this match, first of all, we're basically going to break it down like match of the week. So, here we go. This match right here, Christian and Jericho, was basically Chris Jericho coming out mad that he lost the cage match with Edge and mad that he got beat by a no-name rookie last week, Heath Miller, as you like to call him.
Heath Slater, baby. You got to call him what he is. He's Heath Slater now. Even though I can't stand the name.
And to me, it just made perfect sense to do a match like that in these circumstances because Jericho is, you know, the 20-year veteran. And honestly, he would deserve something better than this. So it had great psychology. And it was an overall great match with a great finish, I thought, with the Codebreaker catching Christian flying through the air like a monkey. So it was a good match and good enough to get mentioned on the war report for a war that's not really a war.
That made me go, ow!
It was a good finish.
It's just like phones ringing, dude. It's your chiropractor.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
And I thought it was funny how about 15 minutes later, Christian was coming out with a big smile on his face, pounding his chest because he got drafted.
Yeah, it was just like, great way to sell, dude.
Great way to sell. Moving on, we're going to go to TNA now because TNA had a pretty good and weird match involved, and that was Kazarian and Shannon Moore for the X Division title, which is nowhere to be seen, by the way. Apparently, it's still with...
I think it's in Siberia or somewhere.
Yeah, Uganda, somewhere like that.
Good. It's making its way back. It's making its way around on the slow boat from China.
Yeah, and that's the unique thing about the match. You know, obviously, it's an X Division match with two great X Division wrestlers, so it was a great match either way. But it was very unique because of what they said to build this up. Because Doug Williams did nothing to lose the belt, they're going to make him hand over the belt next week to Kazarian. Now, Alan, if you were the promoter, would you be agreeing with this, making him hand over a belt that he never lost on TV?
I have a problem with belts change. Obviously, everybody knows it's a work. We all know it's a work, but you got to have some sense. I mean, is Roy Jones Jr. going to hand over a title belt somewhere? Is Brock Lesnar in MMA or Tito Ortiz, who, if you're listening from jail, Tito, we love you. Are they coughing up belts, walking up to Dana White and going, here you go, dude, I'm done? No. So I think this is kind of asinine that Doug Williams, Doug said, you know what, I'm going to make a volcano explode, and that way they can't get the belt off of me. I think it's asinine, and he should never have had to drop it this way. Maybe they're going to lead to him giving the belt to Kaz, smacks Kaz, next thing you know, we got a match instead of waiting to sacrifice live on pay-per-view. If they get there.
It just really made the match unique and something that I would have brought up in match of the week. So we're going to run with that match. Now, as I said, we're going to have basically two runner-ups and one other match to break the tie. And so this week, we've got one from Raw, we got one from Impact. To break the tie, we're going to go to Monday Night Raw again because honestly, for the first time since I can remember, Raw had some of the best wrestling I've seen.
Very entertaining show.
This match was, honestly, my jaw was dropping because it was The Miz and Big Show against the Hart Dynasty, who I have thought since I first saw them get together that they were the most deserving team of a championship in the world. I mean, here's a family who I don't have any more respect for than the Harts. And wrestling is just in their blood, Alan. And, you know, honestly, with a manager, I guess, like their uncle and I guess family friend, Bret Hart, you just can't go wrong with this.
Yeah, that was an awesome match. That was that that was jaw dropping. That I have people texting. I texted people and I was like, I just marked out. I don't believe it. I just marked out.
I'm not afraid to say I did either. I thought it was a great match. And, you know, I thought the finish of the match was the best part. And, I mean, there were some really good spots. But that finish where TJ Tyson hooked in the sharpshooter on The Miz, I thought it just made for a great moment in wrestling history. And something like that could get match of the year, I think. And so it's obviously going to win the first War Report.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we're gonna go commercial free to the top of the hour because we're gonna bring Spug back in here. Because for fans that aren't aware of it, Spug is a trained wrestler. Spug does wrestle in the Midwest area, and we're gonna bring him back in here for a wrestler's perspective. I'm gonna bring in my reporter perspective because I had mentioned seeing some interesting stuff covering TNA. If you're a sports fan, you've heard all the stuff going on with Ben Roethlisberger and Tiger Woods and all this and that. Well, the European trip was definitely an interesting one because, now, we thought this was rumor until apparently it got confirmed. The Mark Henry was issued an adult caution, whatever that is, in Belfast, Ireland. And to paraphrase what happened, apparently Mark Henry had an issue with a fan. The fan got ignorant. Someone got ignorant. He got ignorant. Guy apparently just asked for an autograph. Next thing you know, drinks are thrown. Cena and Orton are involved. Chavo Guerrero is supposedly piping up and egging Mark Henry on. Now, according to Chavo Guerrero, another one with the Twitter, I thought after Joey Styles shot his mouth off during the 2008 election run, everybody was banned from Twitter. I guess not. Now, the fan apparently accused him and Mark Henry of stuff. So he commented on the thing saying that, if I could get Mark Henry to kill someone, why wouldn't I have him kill the writing team? Not a drunk nobody. Even more ludicrous is that he blamed the wrestling media for putting out a false story when the story was first reported in a newspaper in Northern Ireland. Now, this isn't an isolated incident with WWE, because Chris Jericho in Canada had issues after a show with a fan. We all remember the Randy Orton issue. And all our friends at TMZ had real fun with Sugar Shane Helms and Chris Jericho. Now, my question to Spug and to Aaron and the fans on 888-357-9876, hint, hint, is I know the NFL has a code of conduct. Obviously, we see it, because if you're a football fan, Roethlisberger is sitting at home going, damn, I knew I shouldn't have gone into that bathroom. I don't know if I know WWE's got a lock-solid wellness program, huh? And TNA sort of kind of has a wellness program past the joint Jeff Hardy. Sorry. That was awesome. All right, yes, I'm straight edge. Sorry. My question is to everybody here. Rockin can input on this. Anyone else can input on this. Should Mark Henry be suspended? Should there be an actual on-paper code of conduct saying, no, crap like this is not going to be tolerated? Because Jericho got nothing from the drunk fest to get of assaulting a cop. Matt Hardy obviously is an amazing track athlete from what we heard about from that night. And you got all this stuff. Jeff Hardy's possibly going to jail for drugs and this and that. I know there's the wellness policy, and is Spug back with us? You there, sir?
I'm here.
He's here. Okay, I'm going to put this to you and Aaron first, and then I may input, I may not. We're not going to do a six-hour rant on this, but it's a simple question. Should, as a wrestler, first to you, Spug, then to Aaron, should these guys be held accountable for the crap that they're doing? Because I know, obviously, it's an embarrassment to their friends and family. But should these guys be held accountable? Should we be seeing suspensions or, like, first strike, three strike, or you're suspended for a month like the wellness policy is?
You've already set the precedent with what you did with Jericho when that whole fiasco happened. You've already said to the president that you're not going to punish, you know, anyone. Because Matt Hardy was involved and he's not a top tier star. So, to punish Mark Henry at this point is a bit asinine, but I do think you could put something in place, for future altercations. And let's face it, these guys are celebrities no matter where you go. Not maybe not on the level of a Ben Roethlisberger or a Ryan Howard or anybody like that, but they're still celebrities. So you're always going to have the drunken idiot fan who takes somebody, you know, going, hey, man, I'm just trying to go to work, as a slight against them and wants to throw down. I think it should be taken on a case-by-case basis, and, you know, as a foreman where I work, I've always kind of gone by, when a situation happens, you take both sides of the story, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth.
Right.
So, if you can take all accounts, then probably somewhere in the middle of that jumble is the truth of what happened that night. And I know you're trying to make a comparison earlier with Ben Roethlisberger, but...
I know it's hard to. I mean, obviously it's hard to.
First of all, I hate Ben Roethlisberger because I am a Clevelander. I would much prefer if that man died in a fire. But, second of all, with Roethlisberger, that was the second time that he had been in trouble for that particular type of activity. He's even got a lawsuit against him. This is the first I've ever heard of Mark Henry doing anything like it. So, like I said, yeah, a case-by-case basis is probably your best bet.
Aaron, what are you thinking there? Are you thinking, like... Because, I mean, E60, I know that I'm bringing the mainstream world into this. E60, which is an ESPN-like talk show, did an interesting story on something like this, where they were saying, you know, this is the era of Michael Phelps getting busted for a bong at a party, you know, with a cell phone camera, and the TMZ, apparently TMZ by the end of this year is going to have TMZsports.com. I mean, is WWE on the platform and TNA on the platform that some of these fans better, like, it's going to get a little scary if someone's going to make the wrong move one night and then who knows what. Aaron, your thoughts on this whole idea of should there be a code of conduct of some kind? And I don't mean, you know, the ROH code.
Well, honestly, first of all, I don't think anything is going to be done about this particular situation with Mark Henry, because, as Bug just said, this is the first time we've ever heard of Mark Henry doing something like this. Like, I personally, I've never heard anything but good of Mark Henry. And being that it's from a random fan who probably still remembers him putting out Batista when he was a good guy, and he's probably just mad at Mark Henry, you know. So it's probably just a crazed fan, and so he just really can't be taken seriously unless there's witnesses. So I don't think anything is going to be done about it.
What did you say he received, Alan? I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
About who received, which one?
Mark Henry.
He hasn't received. He received what he got. Apparently, he was arrested and received what the Irish called a "quote unquote" adult caution. I'm not sure what the heck that is, because the report that was on WrestlingInc.com doesn't really go into what an adult caution. It could have been, like, I guess, the equivalent to our, like, a warning or something along those lines. I don't know. I mean, me, I'm the type of person, I've been at TNA backstage events where I've seen some pretty weird stuff going on. You know, like I said, I see Lex Luger show up pilled out of his mind in front of Jeff and Jerry Jarrett in a restaurant, and it's just like, what the heck, dude? And, you know, go back to a few years ago, some of this stuff would have gotten your ass fired. Ask Brian Christopher Lawler how his WWE stay went when he got caught at the Canadian border. It's not my bag, and that's not even my cocaine, and I'm not even in Canada.
Yeah.
I have what an adult caution is, by the way.
Okay, what is it, please?
Here's what it says. In February 2006, a new scheme came into effect in Ireland as an alternative to prosecuting adults, that is, those who are over 18 years of age, for certain criminal offenses. The scheme is called the Adult Cautioning System and may be available as an alternative to prosecution where there is evidence that the person has committed the offense and where the prosecution of such an offense is not required in the public interest. Adult cautions are not disclosed in Garda vetting reports and police certificates of character.
Wow. That made about as much sense as anything we've heard tonight. So basically, if you read that right, don't be a dumbass if you're a WWE or TNA superstar. If the fan wants an autograph, give him the autograph. Because you never
essentially,
know.
Essentially, it's a written warning. That's all that is. Right. You did naughty, you did bad. Here's your ticket. That's all that is.
Well, this goes back to, like I said, we keep it an old school tradition thanks to Nick Anthony, Cauliflower Alley Club on here, and we'll address something that happened in Cauliflower Alley Club later on. Back in the day, as they like to say, the good guys were good guys and the bad guys were bad. And if you were a good guy, you never got caught near a bad guy. And if you're a bad guy, you didn't talk to the fans. Nowadays, forget it. All these guys, I would go to the L House after TNA events and then like TGI Fridays and all this other stuff. And you'd have guys that just beat the crap out of each other on the air, sitting there eating dinner at the same table. If you had done that 20, 30 years ago in his business, Bill Watts or Eddie Graham would have, or Stu Hart would have pulled a sledgehammer out and hit you in the nuts and said, get out of my damn territory. Now, obviously, kayfabe's right out the window in certain parts here, but, I mean, is there a point where at some point as a fan, I mean, there's certain decorum when you go out. I think Lance Storm addressed it once on StormWrestling.com where he had his little list of stuff. Like, if I'm sitting out eating somewhere, before I eat, yeah, you can ask for an autograph. After I'm done eating, yeah, ask for your autograph. Don't hit me up while I got a thing of ribs in my hand that I'm all, juicy ribby stuff coming down. I mean, it's got to be just like a common sense thing if I'm if I'm dragging on, I apologize, but...
Well, here, I've got an interesting story for you. You brought up Stu Hart. I used to work for a promotion about an hour east of Columbus. I would drive 2 hours to go wrestle every other weekend. And if you were a heel, you arrived between this time and this time. If you were a face, you arrived between this time and went through this door. The heels and faces had separate locker rooms and never left together. Ever. If you were a heel riding with a face, you had to wait. My promoter was all about keeping the kayfabe up. Always.
And that's a thing that seems to be lost nowadays, and it's really, honestly, it's getting the wrestlers into trouble. Just look at Gregory Helms and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, like I said, it's a TMZ nation now. Well, there isn't a 24-hour news cycle. It's a 24-second news cycle. We're going to let the Spug go and do what he does best, which is, what do you do best? You get prepped for your show. I believe you said you had to run some errands before things got chaotic at your house. We may have
no show
back
tonight. Tomorrow night at 11 OTL, buddy.
You guys are on.
9 p.m. Okay. Wednesday night, so Taku Talk Live. We're talking Geek, and I think we're talking Kaiju Big Battle tomorrow night.
If I was Aaron's age, I'd probably understand what that is.
You see the old Godzilla monsters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys in monster suits.
Okay.
Guys in monster suits in a wrestling ring.
We'll have to look that up online.
Go look up Kaiju Big Battle. It's awesome. But anyway, right. I'll get you guys later. Thanks for having me on. Have a good show.
Thanks for your input. We appreciate the wrestler aspect sometimes here. That was Spug. He's a part of our talk video.
Apparently, he's one of our hosts.
Hey, he's doing pretty good. Hey, I was on their show the last 2 weeks, so I have no problem with them coming on and voicing their opinion. We're all one big wrestling community. We're going to go to break here. We're going to take the top of the hour break. We're going to come back with some interesting tidbits about Rob Van Dam and the possible upcoming opponents for Mr. RVD. Somehow we're going to work Ghost Hunters into this show, believe it or not, dude. We're going to talk Ghost Hunters. We're going to talk some women's wrestling news before we come back with Alex Payne. 888-357-9876 is our number. That's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. This is OWW Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding. Ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
Blood in the streets in the town of New Haven. Blood stains the roofs and the palm trees of
Venice. OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even a e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one heard it. That one heard it.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Mace, the self-proclaimed favorite Aussie of the Wild Talk Radio Network, telling you to come step in the ring with me and the rest of the Wild Talk Radio crew every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you don't, we'll make Will come over there and drink all the alcohol.
Option 1 option 1 is the way to join us here on OWW Radio, or Sir Rockin' on the Skype if you're into the technological thing. If you're watching NXT right now, please, dear God, turn it off, because I'm feeling bad that I gotta watch this while I'm doing the show. And they've got the NXT guys, Aaron, channeling Don West by having them stay by ringside and sell programs to fans as fast as they can. I mean, Alan Wojcik, speaking in the third person for the moment here, wants to take a long nap and hope this NXT thing goes away. We are waiting on Alex Payne of Ring of Honor to join us. We're going to do some real quick news items. Some are hysterical, some are interesting. The first one is, if everybody's wondering why Rob Van Dam, we obviously discussed the Rob Van Dam thing, how he got his world title and everything, but apparently the new TNA champ says he doesn't have much sympathy for younger wrestlers being pushed out of TNA in favor of bigger names. Apparently, he told Patrick Lennon of the Daily Star, I'm not 100% sure where this newspaper is anymore, quote, it's a good vibe. Some of the younger guys may feel like they're getting pushed out right now, but they don't really have an argument. Now, prior to joining TNA, RVD said in several interviews he wasn't interested in working with wrestlers who, quote-unquote, weren't established stars during his era of the Monday Night Raw Wars. This obviously remains to be seen. Now, I spent a couple minutes and actually went over the TNA roster, Aaron. If you believe what Rob Van Smoke-A-Lot is saying here, here's who he can who he'll wrestle. This is who was working in the industry in 2001 when the Monday Night Wars ended. Deep breath. Okay. Sting. Team, both members of Team 3D, Rhino, Ric Flair, Hollywood Hogan, Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, Stevie Richards, yes, he's still under contract, Jeremy Borash, yes, he worked for WCW, Mike Tenay was an announcer in WCW, Raven, who's sort of, he's listed on their website still, so who knows, Taz, Dave Penzer, yes, he was a ring announcer in WCW, Hall, Nash, Waltman, Jimmy Hart, yeah, Jimmy Hart can wrestle because he's Hogan's buddy, who cares? Jeff Hardy, pending jail time, Shannon Moore, who was a member of Three Count in WCW, and AJ Styles, which I don't understand because AJ was a part of a tag team with Air Paris in WCW back before they disappeared. Do you buy this, Aaron? Do you buy that Rob Van Dam is saying, I only want to work with the big guys who were wrestling 9 years ago?
I don't know what to make out of it because you know, RVD was. Well, I don't know, but I can't help but think just a few years ago he had a run in WWE as ECW and WWE champion, and he was working with, you know, John Cena, who was not a big star back then. Sure, he was wrestling as prototype, but still, I mean, it's basically the same situation here with AJ Styles. It's just hard to make.
We're gonna leave that part of that. Now, all those in the room that watch Ghost Hunters, raise your hand. That's probably me and me alone here. Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Network apparently is gonna get in the professional wrestling realm. No, they're not guest hosting Monday Night Raw, at least not yet, good Lord willing. Apparently, according to one of the news boards that I get a newsletter from, Wrestling 365, Ghost Hunters apparently is going to be filming soon in Amsterdam, New York, at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Now, the president of this company, of this organization, says that the TV production people have yet to give him a date. Now, apparently, he feels the hall is haunted. His name is Tony Villano. He's claimed he has experienced paranormal activity near displays of such wrestlers as the late Scott Bam Bam Bigelow and the missing link Dewey Robertson. Their next induction is going to take place sometime in June, and you can check out their site at www.pwhf.org. Now, I've been to a couple places that these guys have been to. I went to St. Augustine, Florida, where they were at a lighthouse. They were here in Ybor City, Florida, at a wrestling group called Elite Wrestling Entertainment, which is unfortunately not in existence, wrestled at a place called the Cuban Club. So this might be interesting if these guys are going in, and I mean, who knows, they may be talking to the ghost of Lou Thesz or the ghost of Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, would that make you tune in to watch Ghost Hunters, dude?
Well, honestly, you know, I think it's something that shouldn't be messed with. You know, personally, I don't really believe in paranormal activity, but still, I mean, once someone has passed on, I think it's it's only respectable to let them rest in peace, you know.
Speaking of resting in peace, her WWE career may be dead, but Maria Kanellis has apparently survived another week on Celebrity Apprentice on NBC. Last Sunday's show had a couple of WWE people show up on it. Former ring announcer Lillian Garcia made a cameo, and so did WWE World Champion John Cena, who presented Sharon Osbourne, who's a part of the event, the show with the greatest toupee in sports today, Donald Trump. They apparently gave $10,000 donations from WWE, Vince McMahon, and Cena gave one from himself. Did WWE drop the ball by not keeping Kanellis on at least till The Apprentice was over, dude? Or is it like, yeah, whatever?
Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and act like I care.
Okay, well, we do care about this next item because Nick Anthony was there when it broke, and it was supposed to be on our show, but due to communication problems, it wasn't. He had mentioned that Jason Dedrich, our big super uber guru boss here at OWW Radio, and the founder of the Chick Fight organization, there's apparently a new female group that's going to be coming along called the Female Fight League. Now, this is being spearheaded by Jason and Melissa Anderson, who's better known as Cheerleader Melissa, or Alyssa Flash if you watched her in TNA, or Aisha Saeed, and also a co-founder of Canada's NCW Femme Fatale, Stéphane Brie. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, sir, or ma'am, whatever you are. The press release reads real simple. FFL, I don't know. It's Canadian, so who knows? I mean, Stéphane Richer played for the Montreal Canadiens for years. You hear that name and you think, hey, that's a girl. No, it's a guy. FFL is going to be a collaborative organization dedicated to bringing respect back to women's professional wrestling by providing support and resources to the top pro wrestling promotions for their respective women's divisions. We vow to bring women's wrestling to a new plateau. The FFL consists of some of the greatest wrestlers and promoters in women's wrestling working together to better the future of our industry. The FFL is currently represented by promotions in the United States, Canada, and Europe, and they've got a site already set up called FemaleFightLeague.com. Before we go to break, honestly, do we really need another women's wrestling promotion? I mean, this is the opinion, obviously, of the longest-running action comedy with a wrestling-themed show. We don't need to talk about other god-awful wrestling people, but you've already gotten this Country Shimmer, WSU, Chick Fight, obviously, is a worldwide thing. Is this something you're marking your calendar for, fans, and Aaron, and anyone else that's out there? Are you marking your calendar going, cool, women's wrestling, or are you just like, yeah, another league, I'll believe it when I see it?
Well, I mean, it just don't work. It's that simple. It hasn't worked in the past 20, 30, 50, I don't know how many years. It hasn't worked before, so I don't know where they get the idea that it's going to work now. That's just my opinion.
Man, I wish them all the best. I really hope that Mr. Dedrich and his crew have something together there. We're going to take our next break, 888-357-9876, option 1. You can get on Skype with Sir Rockin' because you want to be on next because we are going to have him, one of the breakout stars of Ring of Honor. He is Alex Payne. That's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. OWW Radio. We'll be back.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, Cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're back here on OWW Radio, and we actually have a very special guest lined up for you tonight. He's a Ring of Honor star, star of the Indies, period. He's here for you people tonight. He is Alex Payne. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good evening, sir. Good. Welcome.
So thank you guys for having me tonight.
And if you want to be in this conversation with us, folks, 888-357-9876, option 1. You can Skype Sir Rockin. First things first, we did research on this. We just grazed it off the air. You had a very weird nickname when you were, and you've since dropped it as a character. Where the heck did a nickname like Sugarfoot come from? Was it given to you? Was it a childhood nickname? Was it given to you in training? How did that even come to be? And I'm very happy you dropped it, by the way.
well, thank you. It's actually a whole process to get rid of it. It was given to me literally after like my fifth match wrestling. It was in Chicago. That's why the name really took off. Samoa Joe was in the locker room that evening before the dark matches started, and Rhett had a match just before me, and, you know, he walked by and goes, somebody spilled Sugarfoot, and then Bobby Cruz, you know, just, he already announced Rhett already, so I come walking down that ring, and, shortly thereafter, hey, here's Sugarfoot Alex Payne, and I look back, like, really, it was me? Okay, so we'll go with it for a while. And it dropped and stayed away for a while until our return to Chicago later, like a couple months later in the summer, and it just stuck. And
so,
for a while I wasn't a fan of it, really. I was like, well, I don't have the personality deep down, like be over the top and goofy like that. I don't know, I think Sugarfoot, I think it's someone to dance around. I can't dance. Sorry. I don't throw martial arts kicks, so I don't want to do that. Someone can do it. You know, there's fighters out there. There's a Sugarfoot Ray Safo who's fought for K1 and Pride, and if he's a great kickboxer, let him do that. You know, if I could even come close to that at all, then I would do it, but I don't want to be an asshole and completely mess everyone up.
Well, are you saying that maybe you're one of the smaller wrestlers and one of the younger ones too? Are you saying that maybe you're the one that the guys wanted to maybe pick on and maybe bully around a little bit to see if you were serious about being in the business? Do you think that might
like
have something to do with it?
Like
I don't know about that. It was like maybe like test me and see what I would do with something like that right off the fly, you know? But I don't know if it was like bully around or, you know, pick on me necessarily. Like, Joe's actually a really nice guy. Had nothing wrong with him whatsoever. But I was just like, ah, really? Like, I didn't expect something like that. I was a big fan of guys like Bret Hart or, you know, I never found, like, Bret to be, like, a over-the-top, you know, heel or face or anything for that matter. And he's always a very straightforward wrestler. Like, guys, I always picture myself doing the same thing down the line, like Dean Malenko. So he's at least about as good as I am. But that comes with a lot of experience, too. But I never pictured myself as, you know, like, I think guys like Spanky or Shawn Michaels that could be over the top and flashy. And that's not really the way I ever perceive myself to be. And, you know, I hate disappointing anybody that, you know, thought anything other than that. I always feel like if you can't find that internal personality to bring it up to the surface, it's just not going to work, you know, really. So that's why recently I just kind of tried to drop it a little bit and kind of move on. Like, okay, stage two of my career, where is it going to go? Like, you know, I've wrestled for 4 years now, or almost a little over 4 years. So it's kind of like, okay, that was an introduction. Now, where can I take my career this point forth?
He's Alex Payne of ROH. 888-357-9876 is the number, option one, and you can Skype Sir Rockin'. I did some research on you, and when I do some research on some of these wrestlers, you always get a surprise. Like, truth or rumor, you were a former AAU junior wrestling champion?
I did a little amateur wrestling when I was actually in middle school.
Okay. How does that transition to you going to your family? So, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go train under the American Dragon, Brian Danielson, and Austin Aries.
They were always, my dad was a wrestling fan, so that was not something, I couldn't convince him otherwise. My mother, on the other hand, she really wasn't a big fan of wrestling, and she didn't mind me doing much wrestling as a whole. But when I decided, like, hey, I wanted to become a professional wrestler, my mom always concerned about it, and then when I made the move, it was like a big concerning thing for her, especially since I moved 1,000 miles away from Iowa to Philly.
Well, since you just brought up a couple names a minute ago, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Growing up, who really had the biggest influence on you from the wrestling business and got you interested?
First off, I have to say, like, Hogan. I know, like some of you guys weren't a big fan of him, and I'll admit, even, deep down, I haven't enjoyed every single one of Hogan's matches as a kid, but, like, early years up to, like, maybe I was the age of 8, it was, like, Hogan. Then, around that time frame, I changed to, like, Flair and Bret, and then, like, it just moved on to, like, cruiserweight wrestling, and then it just moved on from there to, like, wanting to see other sorts of wrestling, but I'd say, like, mainly, like, on a style basis, like, I would have to say, like, guys like Eddie Guerrero or Bret Hart, Arn Anderson, those sort of guys. I always enjoyed watching those guys wrestle a lot, as my taste for wrestling matured as I grew up.
I just mentioned two names that are pretty big in the wrestling business, and Brian Danielson and Austin Aries. Were at the ROH Academy where you were trained. Who was there more on a day-to-day basis, and give the fans an idea of what goes on in an ROH dojo or training academy?
Okay, well, first off, my initial training was done with Austin Aries. I started training in December of 2005, and he was the trainer at the time. Basic training with him was, for a month, for months, if not a little longer, we didn't even touch the ring whatsoever. You weren't allowed to get on the ring. You weren't allowed to wrestle in the ring. You weren't allowed to even, you know, to lean on the ring, really. It was basic, just on the outside of the ring, you'd do chain wrestling. We'd go out and run around a duck pond that's across the street from the school, out in the cold for 20 minutes to a half an hour. Come back in, we'd warm up, do, you know, some general exercises just to get ourselves warmed up again. Start doing rolls and start doing, you know, moderate bumping at the time, like, you know, just simple stuff on the outside. Then once he decided, well, we'll do a little bit of striking, a little bit of simple standing chain wrestling for a while, for a good month, and then it was, okay, here's your chance to get into the ring. You've earned that right to now to get in there. For a good 4 or 5 months after that, it was basic wrestling. And was that? Not that I did say something. It was like basic simple basic wrestling holds, chain wrestling, learning how to hit the ropes, do, you know, all the basic things that you're taught initially. Up until you learn how to wrestle, learn to have a match, and how, and he basically threw the basics with us, simple basics, which is very essential for when you get into a ring, because there's so many young wrestlers out there that get trained at these little places that you've never even heard of, and they get on shows and they don't even know, you know, the difference between a wrist lock or a hammer lock or a headlock for that matter, and it's kind of sad that all they want to do is get in there and just start, you know, about the ropes, you know. After...
Well...
Go ahead.
You interrupted them,
well,
Aaron.
Exactly, what were the requirements to get into the ROH training camp? Thought he said go ahead. My bad.
Or is it just, hey, I got money and I'm coming in?
There's people that come in. There was tryouts, and you put down a deposit for your tryout, and then you do your calisthenics, and you would be ran through a series of drills in order to get accepted. And then if you were accepted, you went further than that, and you were actually training with Aries, or with Brian. Like I said earlier, my training with Aries lasted about 5 months, and then he was done, and I had my first match. And shortly after, as soon as Aries is gone, Brian took over, and the training like increased a lot. Like, we were doing combat conditioning. We were doing at least 500 squats every other day. We were doing push-ups and setups by the hundreds. We were doing jumping squats. We were running. We would get a hell of a workout just before we even stepped in the ring with Brian. And he had an emphasis on, he wanted to break up the classes. He wanted the advanced classes, and he wanted to have his beginners. And I was in the advanced class with guys like Hagedorn and Rhett and Pelly and Ernie and Mitch, or Grizzly, now as everyone knows him. But, and his training was extremely intense, and I really enjoyed it too. Like, after, you know, the first few weeks, you know, like, damn, this is tough, but it was for the better. I always felt, you know, he really emphasized the basics, and he wanted to push us to try to do something to make us all try to stand out, whether it was how we wrestled or how we presented ourselves. He felt like what we were training for, whether it was these 3 to 5 minute matches on dark matches or getting the opportunity to wrestle on the main shows, that was the way to advertise our best stuff for the Ring of Honor audience, because we all know the Ring of Honor audience is very critical about what you do inside a ring.
He's Alex Payne, 888-357-9876. He is a star ROH, and you can see him on HDNet if you happen to have that. They're on Monday nights at 8, and they're also, I believe it's Go Fight Live or Fight Go Live, something along those lines. They had a recent pay-per-view in Charlotte, of your time in ROH, and you've wrestled some pretty top contenders on ROH tapings. You took on two then world champs in Nigel McGuinness and Austin Aries. Who would you consider your favorite, absolute favorite opponent to be in the ring? And the one guy that maybe there was a bit of chemistry problems, it would be kind of considered your toughest opponent.
Amazingly, I've had a few, like, this one will shock probably everybody because he gets no credit. But Shane Hagedorn is actually one of my favorite opponents. I've wrestled him on numerous other indie shows. I've wrestled him for Pro Wrestling Respect. Wrestled him a million times in the training center. Like, every time I've wrestled him, aside from maybe a couple at the beginning when I was really starting off, we always seem to just beat the people far out of each other. And those matches are always fun. I mean, I've had good matches with guys like Kenny King and Silas Young, Mark Briscoe on HGNet, Sanjay Dutt. I had a really good match with him that I really enjoyed. As opposed to a match like against someone, I just didn't quite click, and it. Everything's a work in progress, and I can't really like pinpoint one match that is like what happened or whatnot. Is it? Good question. That I don't want to pinpoint something there was their fault because. When I've had a bad match, I go, okay, I'll think, what did I do wrong? And it's always emphasis on me, but I always feel like I could have done something to fix that, or I could have done something to fix the match some way, somehow, and I beat myself up over it often. So I never really truly pin the blame on someone else. It's just, I guess, not my mentality to do that.
Well, you just brought up the promotion Pro Wrestling Respect. For those who don't know, because it's not that much of a heard of promotion, for those who don't know, can you talk a little bit about how you got brought into the promotion and maybe where it's based?
It's based in Bridgeton, New Jersey. Its simple goal is to allow anybody who came from the Ring of Honor Wrestling Academy to gain more experience. For years, help from back when Hagedorn Hagedorn's class was starting, you know, they've been wanting to do these student-based shows where everybody can get more in-ring time, where they can get the opportunity to really to emphasize wrestling on a scale where they're wrestling more than 5 minutes. These guys, like, I know when I was training, like, Brian was mentioning to Gabe, like, why don't we do some student shows inside the training academy and maybe we sell some tickets, but I guess Dave wasn't interested in that enough. As opposed to now, like, Delirious and Daisy Hayes, like, they put together the Trust and Respect promotion where established Ring of Honor graduates like Hagedorn or Rhett Titus, Tony Primo, Bobby Dempsey, Grizzly, Ernie, me, myself, can work in with the younger guys, like Andy Ridge, who I think really stands out amongst the crops. He's very good. He's only going to get better. And mixing with those guys, plus bringing in like someone like Ricky Reyes to do some matches, or Mischief, for instance, to do some matches with the girls. And I'm sure down the line there'll be some more people coming in and out to help out people such as me or the other younger guys. They're really craving the opportunity to get more wrestling experience as opposed to, you know, if they get dark matches, it's crazy. They have to travel around and experience different towns with Ring of Honor, but they also need the opportunity not only on their own to find indie shows to get on, but having a company that's really emphasizing their growth and trying to help them become better professional wrestlers.
I think that's really cool that ROH even has that kind of setup. It almost seems like it's like a developmental territory, so to speak, like FCW has. He's Alex Payne of Ring of Honor. Yeah, he's Alex Payne of Ring of Honor. He is joining us here on OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik and Aaron Kendrick. You're a part of an interesting group right now that's got some pretty interesting minds involved in it. Adam Pearce obviously is the booker. We're going to break the fourth wall because we sometimes do that here on the show. Adam Pearce is involved doing that part. The legend Jim Cornette is involved. And obviously, Kerry Silkin is the man in charge of the promotion. At a live event or just in ROH in general, what's the level of interaction that anyone on the card from top wrestler to the lower wrestler would have with those three gentlemen, and what's been your experience working with them?
They're actually very easy to talk to be honest with you. I've had opportunities to go up to Jim Cornette and just, you know, talk to him. Like, he'll come by, we'll talk a little bit. Very friendly individual. If I've had questions about history or questions about what I should do with a babyface, I've asked Cornette, I've asked Pierce. Pierce is someone who's been wrestling for over 10, 12 years now. Obviously knows something about wrestling in order to get where he's at. Terry's an old wrestling fan who's watched everything for years, and obviously he's the guy behind Ring of Honor. So, like, you can always go out, like, anyone from a younger level than I to someone who's been more experienced, they're relatively easy people to talk to. When there's busy shows, like pay-per-view tapings, or whether there's HDNet tapings, it's a very tense locker room because everyone wants to, you know, make sure everything's done right. So those days, it may not be the best time to talk to them, but they're always busy with meetings and whatnot. But for the most part, they're relatively easy to talk to, and if you have a question, you can always ask them. They're pretty forward.
Talking to a bunch of these wrestlers, you just mentioned Jim Cornette, someone who's been pretty much everywhere. What exactly do you think you can take this advice that they give you and maybe run on to bigger places with it? What exactly are your aspirations? Would you mind, like, do you plan on staying with Ring of Honor for a long time? I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
All right. Well, I got to Ring of Honor when they first started, when I was a teenager, when I was 14 years old. They basically spruced up right around that time frame. So I had watched Ring of Honor growing up as a kid, which a lot of guys can't say that they had. None of they were guys who had already been established in the independent scene, and they got into Ring of Honor. I mean, guys like, let's say, with Tyler Black, who's only a year older than I am, I'm sorry, and he's the Ring of Honor World Champion. Like, we both come up from Iowa. We both used to run into each other at other wrestling shows we'd be at, and we talked, and to have him, who followed Ring of Honor just like I did when I was a teenager, to become the ROH World Champion, that ultimately would be the same sort of goal. Like, it has been on my mind since I was 14 years old to when I saw Low Ki win the world title, and then Joe and everyone else that I had watched become the champ. I was like, man, I would love to be in that sort of promotion because that's the sort of wrestling I want to be. That's the sort of wrestling company I want to be part of. But that emphasizes wrestling a lot. You know, I have goals of wanting to go to Japan and wrestling there. I would hope, you know, through this experience with Ring of Honor, I'm 22 years old. I've been wrestling for 4 years. I'm hoping to keep growing and growing and growing and growing in order to have the opportunity to go other places, whether it's, you know, off the TNA or WWE one day, who knows. But, you know, you never know what the future has in store for you. But if I can get to Japan and wrestle there and have a relatively fulfilling career, just hitting all my goals, I'd be happy. I mean, I'm not expecting to become the WWE World Champion or the TNA World Champion right now, but I would really like to do something further in Ring of Honor, go to Japan, Mexico, UK, Germany would be a fun place to go to wrestle. I've heard plenty of stories. So I have a lot of goals to continue with, and hopefully I'll be around the Ring of Honor enough to actually fulfill those goals and be able to mature myself as a professional wrestler.
We're going to let you get out of here on a question that I went on the Online World of Wrestling profile for you and found something interesting. Apparently obviously Jerry Lawler is the king of wrestling, but you're apparently the king of Des Moines, Iowa? I didn't know there was a king in Des Moines, Iowa. How did you come to be the king of Des Moines, Iowa? Was that part of a tournament of some kind at a show?
By no means is that the case. One summer, a couple years ago in Chicago, I was wrestling an old friend from my childhood, Hunter Matthews, and Hunter had been doing a Lawler gimmick, and Pierce was on the mic in the bag doing the introductions, and when we both were announced Des Moines, Iowa, so when he announced the stipulation, it was for the King of Des Moines being crowned in Chicago, Ridge, Illinois. But either way, it's a victory to victory, and I beat Hunter that night, and that's how the story goes, really.
Well, Alex, on that note, we're gonna let you go here, and we want to really thank you for being a part of the show tonight. I mean, you've been one of my favorite interviews, and it was pretty entertaining listening to some of your stories.
Well, thank you very much. If you don't mind, this weekend in New Jersey, in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, I will be doing an NWA Force One show. For anyone who's in the area, come check it out, and hope to see you guys there.
There you go. That's Alex Payne. And another thing, you have a Facebook page. How can we get you on MySpace? I'm seeing you have a MySpace page for people.
I have a MySpace page. Just look up Alex Payne or MySpace page, myspace.com/Alex_Payne87. And you can find me there.
All right. Thank you very much for being here with us on OWW Radio. Check him out, fans. He's a rising star in this business. After this break on OWW Radio, the guru himself, Aaron Kendrick, will bring you Match of the Week. We'll be back on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Then it's official form, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forms. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forms, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forms, OWW form games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forms dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bluxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Nick
Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that will eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't want to go rocking. I'm enjoying Nirvana, man. The biggest track, one of the big, that's how they're introed in that video. It's like, here they are, Nirvana! And you're just like, cool. OWW Radio, where we also bring you the American Top 40 style show here. God, I'm so not as ugly as Ryan Seacrest, but if I had his money, I would do whatever I want. That was a really cool interview. I'm glad we had him on. Definitely check him out on ROHWrestling.com. You can see him at that NWA show he was talking about. I believe in May is when ROH's dates start coming back, and they're going to be in the New York Northeastern area. With the final moments we got left here, we're going to do the highest rated segment. Since we are the longest running episodic wrestling radio show in history, and we're going to do the most vintage segment ever, this is Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick.
OWW Radio.
They're still doing program skills, dude. Oh my god. This is horrible. They got Heath Slater hawking programs. They've all been doing it. It's like you're under WWE contract, but let's make some more money for you while we're at it. He's Aaron Kendrick, Match of the Week time. What do you got for us, Chief?
Well, we'll get into Heath Slater here in just a minute. But before we get into that, because I'm afraid we can go a little too long on that one if I don't do this one first. We got Friday Night SmackDown last week. It was CM Punk and Luke Gallows against Rey Mysterio and Kane, and I can't put it any better way than this right here. It's straight from WWE's website. Their explosive match with Rey Mysterio and Kane, talking about Gallows and Punk, was intense from beginning to end as Gallows and the Big Red Monster brawled outside the ring. And it's just, you know, anytime, you know, it's funny though, we talked about unique earlier with the X Division match. This was unique because, if you'll remember, there was a pretty big storyline going on with Rey Mysterio and Kane and how they hated each other. And people were thinking, hey, Kane might be bringing back the mask, which, by the way, I don't think he should have ever taken off because that just killed his gimmick and him as a entertainer. But, hey, I mean, it was pretty unique to see these two working together. And from the past few shows, it's starting to look like they may have maybe a tag team here with Kane and Rey Mysterio.
Neither one switched brands, so it works. It could fit into like what they were doing with Show Miz, where you got this big, huge monster and the short little guy with a mask here who's a knee injury away from having his career ended. I mean, who knows? Who honestly knows? It all depends how much Ray Ray's got left in the tank.
Yeah, so, I mean, and again, it was just to build up the hair match at Extreme Rules, which, by the way, CM Punk did win. And so, that was that. And now, Alan.
Yes,
last week, NXT, there was a match with Heath Slater and Chris Jericho. Now, I caught you trying to say that this match was nothing but a job for Chris Jericho.
Whoa.
If you would, please explain that.
Well, it's just jobbing is a wrestling term for laying down for the 1-2-3.
I don't mean explain the word. I mean explain what you mean.
Why did I say that Jericho? Yeah. Because Jericho at the time, oh, he's a former World Heavyweight Champion. Handsome Heath Slater is the Johnny Come Lately on the block. I understand why it was done. It gives the holy crap value to it that, you know, did I just really see Chris Jericho lose to an NXT rookie? And what can I say? It's a weird thing. Obviously, we're a difference of opinion, so please go on and pontificate on your match.
Well, all right. I'm just gonna say why I disagree with you. I think a job match should only be called a job match when you take a guy out of the crowd or basically somebody who's never been on a wrestling show in his life, put him in the ring and have him lose in 30 seconds. That's a job match. And I just don't see how somebody who's that established can actually job to someone so soon after a world title reign. I think it should just be called like a major upset instead of a job, in my opinion.
I don't know. It, like I said, it was really weird to see a former world champ, I mean, not like real recently. It's not like he lost the belt 6 years ago and it's like Ric Flair laying down for abyss like he did on Monday night, which can we like put a kibosh on Ric Flair bleeding? I mean, good lord, did they have the Red Cross backstage with some buckets going, you know, here you go, Nate, go right ahead. And he was bleeding during the pre-show interview.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was just, this guy gets busted open while he's talking.
Are you going to pontificate on this match, or are we going to just go over other stuff?
Yeah, we can just go over with other stuff. I mean, the match was good, I thought, and it really built up Slater. So we'll just leave it at that. That's match of the week for the week of April, whatever it was. What was last Monday?
I lost my train of thought on that. It was yesterday was the 26th. Do some math. You're in high school. Do the math, dude.
Hold
on.
This
is funny. On NXT, two of the rookie guys doing the program thing have both basically told them where to go stick it. Wade Barrett and Michael Tarver both just walked and said, we're not selling programs here. Oh, it was the 19. Thanks, Rockin'.
Yeah, I just carried some ones and figured that out. So,
the Ric Flair thing brings up something of mine here in the remaining moments that I've been wanting to bring up but haven't had a chance to bring up, and it's the idea of doing the taped show that TNA is doing, where they're doing a live one this coming Monday, and then next Tuesday while we're on the air, they're going to be doing one. Now, I know Nick doesn't like to bring that up, like there's a SmackDown taping going on tonight that'll air this Friday, but, you know, 48 hours ago in St. Louis, last Monday, you know, last Tuesday night when they did the taping, Ric Flair got busted open like nobody's business on, you know, pay-per-view. And then 2 days later, in real time, 2 weeks later in TV time, you know, he still got two-day-old fresh scars. He was covering his face. He had a Band-Aid. Everybody had Band-Aids on their foreheads. Rob Van Dam had one. He had one. It was just, is this like a, should they be doing live, Monday live, every Monday, and get rid of this double-taping thing? Or, because that's the kind of thing you got to bring up, especially with Doug Williams being hurt, and heaven forbid somebody gets hurt, you know, like Angelina Love did during last night's match, or I think she basically disintegrated her elbow. It was something involved with her elbow. What are you thinking about that?
Well, honestly, I mean, if I can just for a second, I want to go back to all the Band-Aids and stuff. I kind of noticed last night Rob Van Dam came out and he had a smile. I don't know if it was I might be getting him confused with Eugene or something, but I thought I saw a smiley face or a logo or something on his Band-Aid. I just thought that was kind of funny.
He had RVD written or TNA written on there.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, I mean, I just couldn't get over how Ric Flair came out and was talking and blood started running down his nose.
He did that a few weeks ago, that he was doing a pre-match promo, and he punched himself in the forehead a couple times, and he had blood going into his eye, and it's like, I'm sitting there going, good God. And it's obviously a slap in the face to the WWE PG. We're not going to have any blood on our show, and we're not going to have any chair shots to the head over here, where TNA's looking at you going like, really, see that line in the sand you drew? We're just going to jump right on over it. And we're going to dance on your thing, and who cares? Man. I know I'll get yelled at for ripping on the older talent, and we discussed it last week, and I get yelled at by Nick for how dare I call Hulk Hogan a mortal bald spot and everything. And there's just got to be a point where Ric Flair, I love Ric Flair, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Nature Boy Ric Flair mark. Spug, we know, is a huge Triple H mark, and I brought up the fact at some point, there's some point where, as a veteran, I've heard stories of Roddy Piper, when I interviewed him a couple of years ago, brought it up, that it's really hard to step away from the spotlight. And sometimes it's a money thing, like possibly with Hogan and his legal issues, Flair and his IRS issues, and the ex-wives that he has. But, I mean, as someone who can access, I think it's WWE Classics on Demand is now what they call it, and DVDs that are out there, Aaron, are you sitting there going, I don't get what this guy was so great about. He's 60 years old and he's bleeding all over the place. Or are you like me going, wow, I'm glad I got that Ric Flair DVD compilation. I can really go back and watch him.
Well, I do have the Ric Flair DVD, but honestly, I've never been the biggest Ric Flair fan. I mean, I love watching some of his old stuff with the Horsemen. You know, that's probably my favorite faction of all time, them and the Hart Foundation. But, I mean, honestly, Ric Flair, he's 65 and he bleeds a lot. Like you said, big deal. I mean, there's a bunch of ECW rejects who can bleed a lot better than Ric Flair, I'm pretty sure. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you just gotta, it's like a bitter pill, you just gotta swallow it and, because, I mean, you knew Ric Flair wasn't done. I mean, it's Ric Flair. You think he's going to keep his word?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Everybody, I had running back, before I got involved with OWW Radio, and I would go to shows here in the Florida area, that was one of the running jokes with our friends was, and on other sites such as FloridaWrestlingFans.com, cheap plug, where we were like, okay, what's like the over-under on Flair and Hogan being brought, quote-unquote, out of retirement to teach these young whippersnappers how to work? I know Nick's sitting somewhere listening to us going, you're bashing the older talent, you're bashing the older talent, but, you know, not for nothing, but certain guys knew when their time was coming, and I think I brought it up on here and I brought it up in other places, you know, classic example of Terry Funk. Terry Funk, in the ECW era, it was on the ECW DVD, and if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But Terry Funk said it best, and Paul Heyman was the one who brought it up, said there were tons of guys that were clutching to their spot and don't want to give it up. You know, in that era of the late 80s, early 90s, and Terry was sitting there going, you know, he was the only one who realized, I got to create a business and make these new stars, such as a Bryan Danielson, AJ Styles, CM Punk, all these NXT kids, someone like Alex Payne, Samoa Joe, whoever you want to bring up, that I got to get them some credibility and get them ready to go. Or, you know, there isn't going to be a business for me to come back to and enjoy. And that was the knock on Shawn Michaels for a while. That was a knock on Triple H for a while. In the 2002 to probably about 2006 era, maybe, they refused to lay down for anybody. That they were just like, nope, we're bringing in the ratings, and you're not really ready. And I mean, classic example, look at Booker T when he was in WWE. It was WrestleMania 19, I want to say, in Seattle. Got a world title shot at Triple H. Next thing you know, bang, mid-card status. You lost to me at WrestleMania. There's no chasing the champ type thing. And there's got to be a point where you've got to get some of these stars ready. And I brought up the news item with Rob Van Dam earlier. That's kind of a slap in the face to guys that have been in TNA for 7 years, while Rob Van Dam was sitting in his comic book shop in California going, yeah, WWE's got nothing left for me to do, dude. I'm going to do this. You had guys like AJ Styles, James Storm, Christopher Daniels, who we wish the best of luck in Ring of Honor. You know, the Motor City Machine Guns. The list goes on and on and on. Matt Morgan, if he ever stops talking about himself and his championships, there's such a talent roster there, Aaron, that could give Rob Van Dam pay-per-view matches that could draw in people. Instead, he wants to wrestle guys that were on top 9 and 10 years ago. I know Nick is sitting somewhere going, Alan, shut up, you're pissing me off, and you're probably pissing some fans off, but maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to just go to TNA offices and go, all right, here's a piece of paper. You need to fix this. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. I don't know, Aaron. What are your feelings on this? Especially the Rob Van Dam thing. I mean, that really is irking me that someone... That'd be like The Miz going to everyone on the roster going, yeah, I came from reality TV, I'm better than all of you, and I'm going to dictate to Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon Levesque and all the writers who I will and will not defend my U.S. title against.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually doing that because he hasn't defended the belt in a month, 2 months, but...
He's busy defending the tag belts that he got. He's on NXT right now with the biggest welt on the left side of his face, man. It looks like they just, it looks like he went into the Divas locker room and said, give me all the rouge you got. I'm going to put it on my face.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry to have interrupted your point, Aaron. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. To answer your question with Rob Van Dam first, honestly, like you said, it's kind of a slap in the face. But then again, maybe it's all a part of paying your dues. I don't know, because TNA, the ones that they do have that are new, which is only a handful of them, you know, they haven't been in the business for too awful long. So I don't know. I don't know if it's got anything to do with that as far as he's concerned. I don't know. But maybe he just... feels like they need to keep paying their dues.
It almost comes to a slight of, there was no, kind of like how Hogan and Bischoff made it seem when they came in January. It was like, yeah, there's nothing here, brothers. You guys have been minor leaguing for so many years. Forget that they've had national pay-per-view for years, been a touring company for years. That, they've been on Spike TV for a couple years. It almost makes everybody that comes from WWE recently, including Hogan and Bischoff, because they're the WCW, WWE guys, that it's almost like TNA was just some hick promotion somewhere. And they kind of made it seem like that on the air with Jeff Jarrett stuff. Going on about, you may have done this and that, but we're going to do greater things. And it doesn't seem that way. And I'm a person that, I want TNA to succeed. I really do. Because it gives the fan, just like with ROH, they're on TV, and I'm sorry we don't talk ROH that much, but I don't get HDNet on my cable system here in Florida, and I'm pissed off about it. Because I have friends that work for that promotion, who I'm not going to name, because this isn't to put myself over, because I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread show. But it's great to have a TNA or a Ring of Honor, or if someone like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla got on the networks, because it's somewhere else for talent to go and work and get the experience. But it just kind of irks me as someone who's met a lot of the guys that are still in TNA, and I haven't covered TNA or been to a TNA show since 2007, but there's still guys on that roster that it just makes it seem like they're the former WWE, ECW guys are going, yeah, brother, you guys are nothing. You never will be nothing, and I'm going to come in here and save it. Well, I hate to break it to you, RVD. I mean, you weren't on the show. He was on the show except for a pre-match blah-blah at the beginning, so we didn't get a Rob Van Dam match. If a 0.5 is going to be what they're going to have with Rob Van Dam as their champ? I don't know. Maybe like we were talking with the Spugger, is Paul Heyman going to save the day? It goes back to the WCW Monday Night Wars Part 1, Aaron. WCW didn't start kicking WWE's butt the first night of Monday Nitro. For the part of 95 to 96, before the NWO was founded, they were neck and neck for a while there. And then slowly but surely, the NWO gimmick, and I know we're talking older stuff, fans, I'm sorry, and if I'm boring you, I'm sorry too. But it's they're trying to create this whole, it's another Monday Night War, and TNA is the one that's been pushing the whole, we're in a war, and yeah, we're warring with WWE, and WWE doesn't seem to give a crap. you know, the ratings didn't turn overnight, like I said, Aaron. So, I mean, can, as a fan, and also as a journalist on the show, can you see, even if Paul Heyman comes in and takes over creative, or Jim Ross, or anyone comes in and takes over creative, could this ship be turned around, or have we started seeing the first nail in TNA's coffin?
Well, I think we've seen probably about five or six nails so far since they started doing the so-called war. But if they did bring in a Paul Heyman, and if they could put personal differences aside, I think nothing but great things could come out of a Paul Heyman with actual like resources, you know, with TV deals, with a good TV deal, with money. That was ECW's problem. They didn't have a good TV deal. They didn't have the money to spend. If they could get Paul Heyman in and book, I think they could have a lot more viewers, a lot more.
Well, it's definitely a good point to be made here, and yet we've run over, in case you're tuning in going, what are these guys still doing on at 11 o'clock? Isn't it their bedtime? Yeah, but I don't think there's anybody on after us tonight, because I think they moved on to the Wednesday night thing. You are listening to OWW Radio. I am Alan Wojcik. That is Aaron Kendrick. Nick Anthony is not here this week. He's still recovering from his Vegas baby trip, and you can go to the OWW Genesis forums. And I believe he's got some photos of some of the people he ran into. And he ran into a truckload of people there. I was looking at them photos, Aaron, going, crap, knew I should have gone to Vegas, man. Because he was posing with the DiBiases and Harley Race and Jim Ross. And I was like, wow, man, it's like, it's not fair. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up on this point, if that's all right. I'm Alan Wojcik. Thanks a lot for listening with us. And the man, the myth, the legend, the voice is going to give you all the cool ways to communicate with us when we're not here on the air. So on my behalf, I want to thank Aaron and Sir Rockin, and we hope Nick's with us next week. Thanks to Alex Payne, and take it away, Aaron.
All right. Thank you very much, Alan. We are on, I'm going to get right into the long list, and it's a long list of where people can find us. We're on iTunes, ClickWrestle.com, Wrestle-Radio.com. We got a YouTube channel. We have a Twitter. We have a Facebook page. And you can, of course, find us at OnlineWorldWrestling.com. So, you can find us. Anyway, you have no excuse not to listen to us. We are the most reliable wrestling source in the world. We have great producers. We have Corey Morrow. We have Scott NDX. We have Nick Anthony, part-time baseball coach. We have Alan Wojcik. We have me. And we have OWW Radio.
You got a Facebook page. Get some people to look at your page. Is it Aaron Kendrick if you look you up on the Facebook?
It's Aaron Kendrick.
And I'm Alan Wojcik on Facebook and MySpace. I got some cool links on there. I do reports on indie shows. I do DVD reviews. We want to thank you all for listening in here. I know we dragged on tonight, but I thought we had a great show, and I really hope you'll be back with us next week. He's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. Have a good night, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday on OWW Radio.
Of our lives.